happy to be home. The trip was fantastic, and we want to set aside time, probably not today because we've taken a long time already today. But I want to set some time aside for Joy to be able to share a little bit about her time in the UK with Hope Church. So this is a warning, Joy, for prepping you to be ready. We want to hear what God's been doing and through those guys. And you over there, I'm going to give you a little bit of an update of my time in South Africa. It was fantastic. I want to pray before we get into that. You're already seeing a little bit of what God's been doing in my heart. Father, we're so grateful for your presence with us. We're so grateful that we get to be a part of your grand mission. We've already been praying it, that we get to be connected with your people around the world, and that we get to gather at times like this and encourage one another, learn together, be equipped for what you've called us to do. So, Lord, I just pray that you would equip our hearts today. Equip our hearts and our minds that we can be about our Father's business. And Lord, as we hear a little bit about what you've been doing recently, and as we dive into your word, we're just welcoming you. Have your way in our hearts. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we went over to South Africa. There were I think 16 of us that were asked to go from around the nations, and I had video greetings from several of the guys who were there, but apparently they were too long and it crashed the computer back here. So we're going to upload those video greetings on Facebook so you can see some of it. Gabe has a couple of pictures. I think they're gonna make you jealous. Well, sort of, except you can't really see them very well. We'll put these on Facebook too. We'll put them up. It was absolutely incredible the country we were in. Everyone from the Northwest would have felt right at home. The only thing missing were the trees on the mountains. There were no trees on those mountains. They needed trees. But the landscape was beautiful. It was cattle country. It was, we were hiking up into like slot canyons and getting chased a little bit by wildebeests, that's what happens when you hike with Josh Yakos from Montana. He likes to hunt anything and everything that moves. And so even though all we had were cameras, he was determined. We actually stalked two different wildebeests. And one of them, we thought we were going to get charged. I felt a little bit like the tourist in Yellowstone. We were all shaking your head going, stay away from the bison. We were a little bit like that. We hiked into a herd of zebras. Did not know the zebras were there until we were in the herd of zebras. So that was before and after our training. We were just experiencing beautiful, natural wonder, like those pictures right there. Incredible. But the reason we went over there was not so we could hike around in national parks in South Africa. The reason we went was to meet with one another and Ray Lowe, who many of you will know. Ray was, he said, look, I want to pour into some of you younger guys, which I was very flattered that I could be considered a younger guy. Some of the younger guys there were like 22, 24. I was like, Ray, you know I'm 40 years old, right? But I got in. And you guys will know Tracy Batterton from River's Edge here in town. Tracy was there as well. So we were definitely not the young guys. But we got to gather and learn from Ray for a week on all the things he wishes somebody would have poured into him when he was leading churches. And he said, I just want to download. So it was sort of like open up your mouth and turn the fire hose on and learn from a seasoned guy. Raised 74. He's been leading and planting and sending out leaders for years. So he was equipping us on how to equip others. And so every morning we gathered to pray and to worship, kind of like what we did this morning, just really fluid. And in one of those meetings, a guy named Max Eaton had a prophetic word for everyone there. Max is a worship leader, and he trains worship leaders in Penge, one of our Regions Beyond churches in England. And Max said he felt a really strong approval from God for all of us. And where was that word? There it is. God is speaking the word approval over you. You have permission to build according to the plans that God has given. And he was talking about the permit process and getting the permit, which I thought was really interesting that we had just gotten our permit right before we went. And so we tore the wall down. And this is my first day to actually be able to be with everybody in the room since we tore the wall down. So we tore it down and then I left town. So I was telling everybody, like, wow, well, we really did just get our building permit. But Max was saying, no, the plans that God's put in your heart and what he's put in you to build, God is saying you've got the permit to build. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That's great. And then Steve Oliver the next day prayed over us and shared over us in Spokane, specifically Grace Church Spokane. And this is really for all of us. And the word was very simple. Stand firm. He said, stand firm. God is driving the pilings down deep like they do for the big skyscrapers in Dubai. And each piling has a name. He said, though you felt like you've been living in a mobile home trailer, isn't that funny? God is going to establish what you've been endeavoring to build. He's putting the tools to build a church, putting in the tools to build a church's significance in Spokane. And he just kept coming back to it. Stand firm. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Well, what we've been desiring to build from day one is a grace-saturated, spirit-empowered, people-loving, equipping, sending, church-planting, multicultural church for the nations. So I said, I think we got our permit to build. I don't know why it took 4.5 years, but we got a permit. So let's build, shall we? And I really was challenged by the Lord. We knew that God sent us here to Spokane, not just to plant a church in Spokane, but a church that would plant multiple churches in Spokane and out, especially across our own nation. And I got broken. I had one whole morning where I just basically sat there and cried because we felt like God was giving the permit and the approval to begin planning and dreaming beyond Spokane, that we together can be dreaming and preparing to send people out from this place, not waiting until we're some giant church, but being ready to send, ready to release, ready to, you know, let's be thinking that way now. So again, we've got our permit. Let's do it. I'm wrapping up our series on prayer today. And I think what we're going to end up doing is I'm going to go through some things and then we're going to spend a little more time at the end praying. Because guys, God's got work for us to do. He's got a mission for us as a church family and as friends on a mission together. I feel like this time of reinvesting into our prayer lives and for some of us, you think, oh, I knew how to pray before we started a series on prayer. But just say, God, re-equip us. Lay the foundations in. Lay them in deeply that we are people who can pray in faith and according to your word. I do want to say thank you to Derek isn't here today, obviously, because he's probably over in Coeur d'Alene. Derek Sovereign covering for one Sunday while I was gone. I listened to his message on Lead Us Not Into Temptation, But Deliver Us From Evil. And he probably isn't listening to this, but thanks, Derek, for coming over and blessing us. And then last week, Randy covered. I listened to Randy's message as well. Thank you for just investing into the church, and as you always do. Thank you. And as we're wrapping this on the Lord's Prayer, I want to come back to one thing. Because if we're really reading this and being biblical about it, unless you're reading from New King James or one of the King James derivatives, you didn't hear in the Lord's Prayer, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And there's a reason for that. It's because that's a later edition, and that wasn't, it's not in the earliest and most reliable manuscripts. It's a later edition. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Every part of that line is completely biblical. "For yours is the kingdom." Yep. "Yours is the power." Yes. "Yours is the glory." Yes. "Forever." Yes. 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 And so I don't feel at all bad that we were singing it in our worship time. "For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory." Right. And I'm going to keep singing it, and I'll probably keep praying it. But there's one thing we have to look at, because this really, really impacts our prayer lives as Christians. And it's not going to show up on the screen because our PowerPoint tanked for today. What do you do when you discover that your religious tradition is rooted in tradition more than the Word of God? What do you do when you discover your prayer life is rooted into religious tradition more than the Word of God? What do you do when you're faced with this? Like, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we do church. This is the way we pray. Don't pray like that. That's dangerous. That's crazy. Well, but is it biblical? Is it the Word of God? If you read the prayers in the New Testament, they're dangerous prayers. They're not little religious tradition prayers. They will break your heart for cities, for people, for nations. God's word is powerful. And learning to pray according to his word is powerful. Do we pray, just think about this for a second, do we pray according to tradition? And when we say tradition, you could almost put in there what is comfortable. Do we pray according to what is comfortable, what feels good? Or do we pray according to the dangerous and powerful and living, active Word of God? Do we pray according to tradition, or do we pray from a relationship that's rooted in faith? Some of our traditions exclude things like the present work of the Holy Spirit. I got to experience the present work of the Holy Spirit this last week, just wrecking my heart for our own nation. As I sat there weeping over the United States of America and going, "God, give us churches for the nations all across this nation. Give us churches that burn for the nations across our 50 states. Give us churches that burn for the nations and love the peoples of the earth in city after city after city after city. God, give us churches." That's dangerous. It's dangerous to pray. It's dangerous to yoke up in a mission like that when we say together as a people, "God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our nation as it is in heaven, not just in Spokane, but, you know, in Spokane Valley and Meade and Airway Heights and Medical Lake and Cheney and Moses Lake and Seattle and Tacoma and just Ellensburg and that's just in a few towns in Washington. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done." When we start to burn with this, the commission of God, it will wreck our comfort. There's nothing comfortable about it. But I tell you what, it's so much more fun. It's so much more exciting. There will be so many more tears involved as you have to either be the one going or you're sending away people that you love because of the mission of God. There's tears, there's sacrifice, it's costly. But as we're praying, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're praying for the provision for his mission. And we're saying, God, guard us. Guard us. You're the God who leads us. You don't lead us into temptation. You don't lead us into paths of sinfulness. You're the God who leads us in paths of deliverance. So God, lead us. Guard our hearts. Here we go. These are dangerous prayers. They mess up your careers. They mess up everything that we say, this is comfortable. This is how my life is going to go because I've decided this is how my life is going to go. When we come and we say, God, not my will, but your will be done, look out. And some of you are having all little thoughts go through your mind already. Oh, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. That's comfortable. That's my organized box. This is not the church for you. If you want that box, it's not. Because God's called us on a mission together. Some of you are going to be in this city for your whole life, and that's fine. You're going to be sending a lot of people out, and you're going to be praying for a lot of people, and you're going to be commissioning a lot of people. Be ready for that. We want to be careful that our traditions of prayer actually leave room for a big, powerful God to rearrange our lives and to direct our lives. I wrote this down. Some traditions exclude the present work of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders, in prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, like speaking in tongues. Even though Scripture doesn't teach an end to these gifts, but our traditions do. What do you do when your tradition runs headlong into the Word of God and the Word of God says one thing and your tradition says something else? We have an option. We either go with God's Word or we go with what is comfortable. Some traditions minimize expectations of miraculous breakthrough. But the New Testament pattern encourages prayer and expectation for miraculous breakthrough, kingdom advance. Some traditions would leave us waiting for God to rescue us from a dark world. Oh God, get us out of here. Get us out of here. Even though Jesus teaches us to expect his light to shine through us into the broken and needy world around us. Our traditions will run headlong into the commission. And as Jesus is teaching us to pray, we want to keep the commission of God in mind. I was going to say, it's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to pray through this, and then I'm going to just challenge our faith a little bit, not long today. But this is the Father, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when we pray this, we pray, God, let it come. Let your will be done. What do we do when we've prayed it. Wherever you've focused and the answer hasn't come. The breakthrough hasn't come. What do? We stand firm, stand strong. That was the prophetic word. We stand strong. But why? Is that just our tradition? Is that our American, we win, therefore God is going to enable us to win because we're Americans? That's what we do? No. I love that Jesus didn't teach us to pray these prayers with no context. If you want to look in Luke 11 for a second, the other version of this prayer, the shorter version of the Lord's Prayer, as we've been calling it, the sons and daughters prayer. When his disciples come up to him, they come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus tells him a little story about prayer. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight? I would be like, I won't do that. No, I won't go. I'm not showing up at his house at midnight. He's painting a picture here. You go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Now, he's wording all of this as a question. Which of you have a friend, you show up to his house at midnight and you're asking him for food so you can entertain your guest who showed up. What he says is, which of you has a friend that when you show up at his house at midnight would say to you, I'm in bed, I can't do it, sorry. This is cool because the culture that they were in, no, you wouldn't do that. You would not do that. And that's the point Jesus is making. Which of you have a friend and you annoy him in the middle of the night, and that friend is not going to get up and give you what you need. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence or his persistence, don't lose this word, because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him whatever he needs. Whatever he needs at midnight, at the most inconvenient time when the little kids are around him in bed, already asleep, and you don't want to wake him up. Jesus says, isn't this how it works, guys? And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? That's like, hey, Dad, can I have a pet fish? Here's a python. You know, he's like, what father is going to do that? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. He's just making these ridiculous, like, come on. Come on, dads. Are you going to do that to your kids? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the context of the disciples saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. teach us to pray. And Jesus is saying, okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm really telling you about your Father, who you're praying to. This is three little things I'm going to hit. Number one, pray like God wants to meet our needs. And pray like God wants to meet the needs of others. This guy is coming to knock on the door because someone else showed up at his house at midnight. And he needs resource. Oh God, give us this day our daily bread. He needs resource to be a man of the kingdom in that moment. And Jesus is saying, pray like God wants to do this. He wants to meet needs, and he wants to meet the needs of other people through you. And the big highlight in this is pray like God wants to do this. Want. God wants to do this. He likes to meet the needs of people through his people. It's never inconvenient for God to listen to you when you come on behalf of your church family, or you come on behalf, like Randy was praying for the hopeless in Spokane. It's never inconvenient or a bad time for God to listen to those prayers. God wants to meet those needs. Or he would have zapped us all and taken us off to heaven a long time ago. It's never inconvenient for God to listen to you. Psalm 121:4 tells us he's never asleep. You're not going to find God off in bed, too busy with his other kids to have time for you. You are never going to find God with no time for you. The only time God ever says something even close to this, you know, don't bother me, the story in Joshua when a guy named Achan had sinned, and he had taken what belonged to God and he hid it in his own tent. And the people were ineffective. Like they sent a few people up to conquer this little town and they couldn't do it. And people died. Like 36 people died. And Joshua's leading the people, and he falls on his face before God, and he's like, oh God, why can't we do this? Why are we unsuccessful against our enemies? And God says, stop it. Get up. Deal with the sin, and then we're going to move on. The only time God gets like annoyed with our prayers is when really we just need to deal with some issue. And we're avoiding the issue. Avoiding, like, don't look at the, it's like the elephant in the room. Oh God, let's talk about my daily bread. Let's talk about my needs. Let's talk about, and God's going, hey, there's this little thing we want to deal with. No, 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 no. Oh God, daily bread. And God's going, deal with this. It's the only time that we find God kind of putting a halt on prayer and saying, stop it, deal with sin, and then let's keep advancing. So if you need to repent, don't just run around that and run around that and run around. Repent. That's just smart. It's just smart. Repent, because God has mission for you. He has purpose for you. He has plans for you. He's got great things for us to do together. The only thing that stands in any kind of hindrance to that is if we just refuse to deal with our own sin. Deal with it. Now, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to harbor it. Just deal with it, because we got work to do, guys. Second thing is this. Pray like God wants us to stand firm and persist. Sometimes the things God calls you to do are going to be hard. They're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to be costly. They're going to cost you way more than you thought they would. But when you pray, pray like God wants you to stand firm and keep going for it. Ask and keep on asking for his name to receive glory. Seek and keep on seeking his kingdom purpose. Knock and keep on knocking for God's breakthrough. And you'll be amazed at what opens. It's not knock, didn't happen. God's sovereign, must not be his will. That's not what Jesus is teaching us. If we listen for the word of God together, and we hear from God together, and we begin to pursue something together, and it's hard, we keep knocking. We keep persisting. And we need to pray like this is actually God's will. He's the one who said, it's Jesus who taught us, knock, seek and you're going to find. Ask, you receive. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Keep knocking. And Jesus actually tells another story in Luke 18 about an unrighteous judge. And this widow's coming to the judge, like seeking justice. And this is a corrupt judge, a corrupt official. But because of her persistence, and she just won't stop, the corrupt official gives justice to the widow. And again, Jesus is telling us in this, he's like, this is what a corrupt judge does. How much more is your father going to bring the breakthrough? Because your father's not corrupt in any way. Jesus is teaching us on prayer so we can always pray and not lose heart. This is how God wants you to pray. Don't lose heart. Keep going. Keep what has God said? Contend for it. Contend for it. That was Steve Oliver. That was his word to us as a church family, is God is putting in the tools to establish what he said. So stand firm. Stand firm. Thirdly, pray like God wants to give good gifts. And he knows how to do this even better than we do. He knows how to give good gifts to his children even better than you do, moms, dads. You love your kids. You want to bless your kids. Your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts even better than you. So pray like he wants to do this. We don't have to approach our Father like Oliver Twist. Coming up, you know, please, sir, can I have some more? He just, you know, another little bowl of gruel. Like it's, we're just putting God out to have to, you know, dole in that watery, you know, whatever that is. God knows how to give good gifts, and he wants to do it. Isn't that what we just read from Jesus? What father's going to give his kid a serpent when he says, Dad, can I have a fish? What father's going to give him his scorpion when he says, Dad, can I have an egg? That's horrible. Imagine opening that Easter egg. And he will give the Holy Spirit. He'll give the Holy Spirit, who's got the power to do everything we can. We've been praying over the last weeks. We're saying, teach us to pray. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to glorify our Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's the Holy Spirit who brings this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Holy Spirit brings this. He says, how much more You fathers who are not going to give your kids a scorpion instead of an egg. You're not going to give them a snake instead of a fish. How much more is your Father going to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I think there's an invitation here to ask our Father for His Spirit. How much more is He going to give the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask Him? But you know what our traditions tell us? Ooh, you better watch out. You start asking for the Holy Spirit, you might get a scorpion. Seriously. That's how I was raised. You start asking for the Holy Spirit, you ever heard those people speak in tongues? That's demonic. You know that, what that's saying? I asked for the Holy Spirit and I got a snake. And we build it into our traditions, even though it's not what Scripture teaches, we build it right into our tradition. And we're afraid to ask God for the very empowering we need to do what He's called us to do. Sounds like a trick. Sounds like the work of an enemy who wants to keep us small, keep us comfortable, keep us in the box. Don't do anything too dangerous. Go to church on Sunday morning. Do our little thing. Pray our little prayers and go to sleep. Guys, He's pouring out His Spirit on His people and saying, when you've got the Spirit, go to the nations. So we need to pray and ask God for the Spirit. As if He's going to give us the Spirit. Not a serpent, not a scorpion, but a good gift. So as we worshiped and prayed this last week, there were gifts of tongues, interpretation, that, I mean, just caused our hearts to soar in worship and praise. There were gifts of prophecy that I already brought back for you, that share the gift with the church of stand firm. God's going to build it. God's going to do it. Being able to sit under Ray Lowe's teaching for several days, equipping us to build a healthy house here. Good gifts. And we're saying, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us all the daily bread we need. The bread of your Spirit, bread of your presence, everything we need, God, give it. We want it. So here's where we're going to wrap it. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for Him to build a mighty, equipping, sending, multiplying, heaven-advancing work through us. Let's accept and receive that word to stand firm, that God is driving in the piles. In fact, Steve made it really clear. He said, when you're building these big structures in Dubai, he said, you just watch that foundation, these piles being driven down, down, down into the ground, and nothing is going up. It's because it's the preparation for a big work takes a big foundation, right? Duh. He just was reminding us the pilings are being driven down. And I think when he said to me, those pilings, he said, every one of them has a name. The foundation of grace. Foundation of word and spirit, not one or the other, both together. Just driven down, driven down, driven down. These foundations of who we say we are as a church. God's driving them into our hearts deeply. And in the struggle is where you go, wow, you are rooting us into this. Let's just pause. Lord, as a church, if you guys can pray this in faith and agree, let's agree. Lord, we want to receive your word to us. That's challenging us to stand firm. Maybe everything in us wants to run to the left, run to the right, run wherever, run. And your word is stand. Stand firm in what you're calling us to do. Lord, we receive that word to stand firm. That word that just puts a courage into our hearts. We receive that. If you can say that in faith, and not to manipulate you, if you can say that, then do. Lord, I receive that word to stand firm. I receive that for my own life, my own family. And Lord, we receive that as a church family to stand firm in what you have called us to do. And Lord, I just say, help us. We don't want to be trying to build something else other than what you've called us to do. We want to build what you have spoken, what you have said, that kind of a church here. So Lord, we're trusting you to build it. And thank you that you're going to do it with us. And guys, let's ask. As Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Father, we ask you for the Holy Spirit. I ask you for a freshness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love what we've experienced of your presence, even this morning. I love what the times we could point back to and say, wow, the presence of God is so good here and so good here. But Lord, we're asking you freshly for your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on us. Where we've been hesitant, where we've been fearful of your good gifts, where we've been fearful of the goodness of our Father. I could just say in my own heart, I repent of that. Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for my timidity, my fearfulness of embracing what you say are good gifts that come from your Spirit. Lord, I want to embrace. I want to fully embrace. And we as a church family want to embrace who you are and who you're calling us to be. So pour out your Spirit on us. Lord, I just hear those affirmations across the room. I hear those yeses. I hear those. God, I know that that's preparing us to receive good gifts and good things. And so, Lord, we want to act on those. We want to act on who you're calling us to be. We want to walk in it. Walk in faith in this. We're asking for your Spirit, so Lord, we're going to expect to receive your Spirit. We're going to respect. Yes, we'll respect your Spirit, but we're expecting good things. Lord, keep teaching us not just to have a good theology of prayer, but keep teaching us to pray in faith. Lord, because we end a series today, doesn't mean we end our discovery of prayer. Lord, we want to keep learning to pray boldly, to pray confidently, to pray according to your word, to pray according to what you are saying, not our own presumption. Lord, we want to keep learning, so keep teaching. Keep equipping our hearts. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.